All right, children, make your way up. Have a seat. You were the first one, huh? You were ready. Yeah. You were eating Simi this morning. Squeeze in there. There should be lots more room since... Yeah. Hey, are you guys going to have any gatherings at your house, like over Christmas? Yeah. People coming to your house and stuff? Yeah. Does mom and dad, do they get like really crazy about cleaning and stuff? Yeah. My mom was one of those people that if she knew anybody was coming to the house, man, we had to get out the brooms and we had to get out the mops and we had to get out the window cleaner and we would just take care of everything. She would tell us what to do, what kind of things we had to do before people would come, and then she would go around and check it off. We had our Christmas, the staff Christmas party, the people that work at church at our house the other night. What do you think Sherry was like? We had to clean and I even had to vacuum the basement. So it was crazy. We had to get all this stuff done. But she was, people were coming and they were honored guests. And so she wanted to make sure that we welcomed them greatly. In the Bible, in Mark chapter 1, it says this, in the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet. He says, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. What did we call like Advent? What did we say Advent was meant? What does Advent mean? Anybody remember? Prepare. Prepare the way for the Lord. So, if we clean our houses that good for just family and friends to come, what happens if the president was coming to your house? What do you think it'd be like? Oh, would your house be really spick and span and clean if the president was coming? Mm-hmm. What about a king? Would it be even cleaner?
Yeah.
What if it was the king of all kings and Jesus was coming to your house? Would you really make it? What's that? You would fall over dead in his presence. Yeah, but that's what Advent is. Advent means not that we prepare our physical homes, but we prepare our spiritual homes for the Lord. So what kind of things are you guys doing this Christmas season to prepare your hearts for Jesus?
Praying and reading the Bible.
Praying and reading the Bible. Inviting to your people to the house. Oh, reading, okay. Anybody else? Anybody doing the Advent calendars that Miss Melissa gave out? Yeah, good. Yeah, all of those things help prepare our heart for the coming of Jesus because we know he's going to come back again someday and make the world all perfect again. And we all want to be a part of that, so we want to make sure that your hearts are prepared for Jesus as well. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for these children and their families. As we help to prepare their hearts for the second coming of your Son, Jesus. But in the meantime, that we live in our faith and the joy and peace and hope that we have in him each and every day. Watch over us and keep us, that in all the busyness of Christmas, that we set aside each time each day to prepare our hearts for Jesus. And we ask it in his name. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right, off to Kids Connect. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It was like, don't run me over. You're going to go have a snack. Are you going to bring me one? Oh, Mom's on the other side. Hey, a couple quick announcements as we get going. First of all, welcome to First Baptist Church. If you have opportunity to take a picture out in the entryway, make sure you go to your Facebook page and tag it. Go where it says tag people. Tag First Baptist Church. And when it shows up, we will... put you in a drawing for a $25 gift card to Mardell's. Next week on the 22nd is, I got to be careful not to say this anymore, ugly Christmas sweater, but Christmas sweater Sunday, because I found that some people think their sweaters look very good. Others think they are ugly, so we're just going to call it Sweater Sunday next week. Christmas Eve services, 4 and 5:30. If you'd be interested in helping with some hospitality and greeting, please let me know. Also, guys, January 25th, Man in the Mirror Ministries is putting on a conference in Salina, one-day conference at Webster Conference Center. First Covenant Church is hosting it. It's $25, includes lunch and all your study materials. Again, if you're interested in going, let me know. We'll sign up as a group, and then we'll get in some vans and drive up there and spend a day together, getting a little bit deeper into our faith. We are in Advent. Again, as we told the kids, it's time of preparation, preparing our hearts for the coming of the Lord. And part of that means that we have to be able to understand who Jesus is and what he was and everything about him. The more we begin to understand those things that were written about him, the greater our understanding and love for him can be. We have been looking at the prophecy. There is tons of prophecy about where he was to be born, what family he was to come from. But there's so much more prophecy than just that that has to be fulfilled according to Scripture. We've been using Luke chapter 24, verse 44. As Jesus was preparing to die, he told the disciples this: "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." So everything that was written in the Old Testament, the law we think of as the first five books of the Bible. The prophets, of course, all of those who spoke on behalf of God, and the Psalms. Many of the Psalms are prophetic as well. And so we've been exploring this prophecy regarding Jesus and the roles that he would fulfill. And we've looked at servant, we have looked at prophet, and today I want to look at the role of priest, because it's a very important role for those of us who are alive today. And not just priest, because the idea behind this is that he was the priest. The priest, Scripture says, in the order of Melchizedek. If we go back and read the book of Genesis, we find that Melchizedek was a king priest, and that was important to the story of Abraham. So we'll look at priest today, we'll look at king next week, and then on Christmas Eve, we'll continue our look at prophecy, but we're going to start to put a whole bunch of different things together and have our story of Christmas wrapped up. This morning, if you have your Bibles, your tablets, whatever, your phone, and you want to turn in Scripture, turn to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah is one of the books that we find a lot of prophecy regarding Christ. And in chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, we find these words: "Tell him this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch. He will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord and will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne. And he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two." Now, this priestly role is not only prophesied here in Zechariah, but again, in the prophetic Psalms, Psalm 110, we find these words from the psalmist David: "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." So it's important that we understand that this is something, again, as we know more about prophecy and how Jesus fulfills prophecy, then we can begin to rely and trust in all of God's promises for us, even to salvation. So now, turn to Hebrews chapter 9, if you would, if you're following along in Scripture, verses 11 through 12. And we find that the author of Hebrews has confirmed in New Testament this idea that Jesus came not only as priest, but he came as high priest. Chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. "But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, it is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption." Now, the function we looked at last week of prophet is to bring the word of God to the people. The function of a priest is to provide access to God for the people. In order to understand that, means we have to go back and look again at Old Testament as we continue this bouncing back and forth. We have to go back to Mount Sinai. God gave Moses the laws by which the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, was supposed to serve and be obedient to him. God said if they were disobedient, he would not bless them, and they would lose the joy and sweetness of their relationship to him. And we know, if you've read the Bible at all, that many did break the law. But God knows the nature of man. He knows us. He knew men back then. And he knew that there was going to be this bent towards sin, that this was going to be a problem. But in his love for us, he made it possible for those who did break the law to restore this relationship of joy and sweetness with him, that we would have a right relationship. For hundreds of years, according to the laws of the Old Testament, found especially in Leviticus, God made a way for Israel to right their relationship through the sacrifice of sheep and goats and cattle and turtle doves. And then this ended up being such a repetitive cycle of sacrifice, sin. It just kept going on and on. They would go back and read through the history books, sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent, which meant sacrifice. Sacrifice, this obvious nature continuing to go. And so it became very clear that the nature of people, the repetitive nature of sin, was not going to change. It was going to continue on throughout history. And God understood that. He had gone to great lengths for the people. But the repetitive nature of sin meant that the repetitive nature of sacrifice had to continue as well. So begin to think, you know, for all these years, families would bring goats, they would bring calves, and begin to think how many animals had to have been sacrificed. How much blood? Can you imagine on a day when they were doing all the sacrifices, the noise and the sounds of animals squealing and all the blood and what it would have looked like in those days? But God had a plan to end all that. This is the way that he provided for them and then, but he had a plan to put an end to that. He had a plan to replace the repetitive nature of sacrifice in the Old Testament and offer up a once and for all sacrifice that would be good for all time. The old way began in a tabernacle, a temporary tabernacle, a tent that they set up as they moved around on the Exodus. An animal would be brought in and offered up for sacrifice near the altar and burnt offerings. The animal would be killed, its throat slit. They would take the blood then and they would rub it on the altar outside, then the priest would take the blood inside the tabernacle and rub it on another altar inside there. And it's kind of represented the sprinkling of blood on the people. So it was a messy deal. It was a time and tedious deal because animals had to be skinned and then burned. It was a long ordeal to do just to cover up the sin. When the children of Israel finally reached the promised land, they no longer had a tabernacle. They had a permanent dwelling. They had a temple in which all the sacrifices now had to be offered. There was no other place. One temple to atone for all the sins. And this is where everything had to take place. And so you can see it becomes a tedious type of activity to do to have a right relationship with the Lord. No other place was acceptable for sacrifices. They would bring their sacrifices to the altar. The priests would be the ones that would be able to do that. They were able to go into the temple farther than anybody else could be. And then there was one priest who was allowed to go into even the most sacred places of all, called the Holy of Holies. And on that day, it was known as the Day of Atonement. On that day, they would bring in two goats. The two goats, one would be designated as a sacrifice, the other would be designated as what we know today as a scapegoat. The priest would lay his hands on the scapegoat, and all of the sins of the people would then be prayed onto this scapegoat. The other goat would be, his throat would be slit, the blood would be sprinkled on the altars, and then the scapegoat would be led out of the people's midst into the wilderness and turned loose to take off with the sins of the world and most likely be die and perish out in the wilderness. And this is why it's called the Day of Atonement. At one with Christ, with God. Everything was made right through this sacrifice. But again, I want you to think of how many animals had been sacrificed to make these things right. Again, this continual sin, sacrifice. And so God knew that he needed a new way. The old way was not working. It needed a new way. And so Jesus, who has come as high priest, now acts on behalf of all of us. Just as Aaron, the high priest, did for all of Israel. And Hebrews chapter 10 shows us that Jesus was greater than any of the high priests of the Old Testament. Because he didn't offer up continual sacrifices. He didn't continue this sin, sacrifice, sin, sacrifice, sin, sacrifice. The scripture that we read earlier in Hebrews said, no, Jesus went into the temple, the Holy of Holies, and he offered once and all sacrifice shed by his blood. One sacrifice for all the sins of the world, past, present, and to come. He shed his own blood for our sins. Not of goats, not of calves, not of turtle doves, but himself. His blood was sufficient and exceeds all of the other sacrifices that had been done. Those all foreshadowed. All of the sacrifices had to be a perfect goat out of your flock, a perfect calf out of your herd, a perfect turtle. Everything had to be perfect. And so this foreshadowed the coming of Jesus to do this for us. His blood had immeasurable value, redeeming value. Not because of the amount, but because he was perfect, without sin. See, the other priests could never be the sacrifice for all. Because the other priests had to do sacrifices just like the other people to cover up their sins. And so Jesus is the only one who could come and fulfill the Old Testament prophecy about being the high priest and the once and for all sacrifice for all men. As powerful as sin is, even in our world today, the shed blood of Christ is more powerful. It is in the shed blood of Christ that the chains of bondage have been broken. It's grace that leads us now in a new way of freedom. So how has he freed us? How has he freed us? Because the shedding of his blood paid the penalty for our... We are no longer bound to the penalty of death for our sins. Christ has taken that upon himself. And if we read Scripture at all, we know we shouldn't be surprised. Because, again, the Bible is not 66 different books. It is 66 books, all pointing to the same person. And so we have a great foreshadowing. A foreshadowing is an indication of an event to happen in the future. Something that takes place in the Old Testament shadows, foreshadows, or predicts something that will happen into the future. And so what would that be in this idea? We go back centuries and we go back to Abraham. Abraham had a son. His one and only son, Scripture says. The one that he loved. The son was born late in his life. He was cherished, more precious to him than anything. But God says, Abraham, take this boy to the mountain and sacrifice him. And so Abraham is charged with sacrificing his one precious son. And Abraham didn't understand at the time. But he knew this was the only way to be obedient and to follow his Lord. And at just the right time on that mountain, God provided another sacrifice. A perfect sacrifice at just the right time. Just as God had provided that sacrifice at the right time, hundreds of years later, he provided another sacrifice at just the right time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says that at just the right time, the woman gave birth to the Savior. God had now provided himself through the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus, to be slain to cover our sins, to make it that we could have access to him, be our substitute for all time. See, you and I deserve to die on that mountain for our sins. You and I deserve to die on the cross for our sins. And because of that sin, our access to God was blocked. Our right relationship with him was not going to happen. And because of the imperfection of the old sacrificial system, people had no perfect access to God. It was only for temporary until they offered the next sacrifice, and then they offered the next sacrifice, and they offered the next sacrifice. But the cool thing about it is that Jesus knew. Jesus knew and understood that his death on the cross would be the only perfect and acceptable cross, the sacrifice. Here is Jesus who has all authority over heaven and earth. But he still makes this decision to be obedient and to go to the cross. as the only perfect sacrifice, to die and to suffer for our sins. And the book of Hebrews says he did it for the joy set before him, because he knew what it meant for you and for me. Now, if that had been us, left to our own understanding, there's no way that we would have offered up Jesus as a sacrifice on our behalf, not the perfect one. But we see that Jesus was condemned by the high priest of that time. And then we see him being led out of town, our scapegoat, outside, away from the people, out into the edges of outside of town to die on a cross as the scapegoat. And all the sins of the world were piled on him at that moment on our behalf. We see the agony he suffered on the cross for the sins of the world. And he did it for the joy set before him. What again is the function of the priest? The priest's job is to provide access to the people with God. Jesus' death on the cross once and for all provided us that access that we could have. We no longer have to have somebody go into the Holy of Holies for us. We no longer have to have somebody else go make a sacrifice for him. In fact, the sacrifice was so perfect that in the moment that Jesus, all the sins of the world were placed upon him and he dies, the curtain, the veil in the Holy of Holies is ripped from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top as in people ripping it, but it is ripped from top to bottom to signify that we now have this presence eternally, access to the God that we say that we love and that we honor. It's the only way it could have been done. The sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary, once and for all, gives us that access. And so we see that God had a plan. Because all of us are the same as the nation of Israel. We sin, we ask for forgiveness, and we repent. We sin, we ask for forgiveness, and we repent. And in this, if we were to continue in the old sacrificial system, then we would have to continue to make sacrifices. But God's plan to replace the repetitive cycle of sin and repentance was to offer up one who would be one last sacrifice, this new way, of course, Jesus. In the beginning, in order to understand what took place in the temple, we have to go back and study again this idea of the tabernacle. We have to look at the law. We have to look at the temple. We have to look at the altar, the Holy of Holies, and then the sacrifice. But now it is different. Now we no longer have to do that. Now we only have to point people to Jesus. We only have to show them their need. We show them that he is the temple in which God dwells. He is the fulfillment of the law. And he is the one that has enriched it and made it better. He is the altar. He is the sacrifice. He is now our Holy of Holies. So he fulfills all the temple worship and sacrificial system. He fulfills all the law, the temple, the need for priests, any go-betweens now. We don't need another man to go before us to the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord God is a personal relationship because of Jesus fulfilling the prophecy to be high priest. The Bible, all it says about the laws and the temples with all of its rituals that could ever be, Jesus becomes in the New Testament. Hebrews says that he is our high priest in the order of Melchizedek, just as the psalmist said in Psalm 110. He is the man sent directly from God. He is the spirit and the power of God himself. And he is our eternal priest who has given us free access to a right relationship with the Lord. Remember that a prophet is one who stands between God and the people and brings word. The priest is a man who stands between God and the people and grants them access on our behalf. The sacrificial system was a difficult one. It was hard to keep. A prophet brings word down from God to the people. The priest delivers the sacrifices of people to God from bottom to top. So Jesus fulfills both of those roles, prophet and priest, who delivers himself, his sacrifice, on our behalf to God the Father. As we think about Christmas, we talk about it's the reason for the season, but I want you to remember this idea of the sacrifice. Jesus came to be sacrificed. Jesus comes for Easter. And without Easter, without the sacrifice, without the death on the cross, there is no reason to celebrate his birth. But he came to be our high priest, offer the sacrifice once and for all, that we would never have to rely on the old sacrificial system again. Never have to rely on keeping the law perfectly in order to have his presence in our life and to have a right relationship with Lord God, our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. But Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come and to share in a time of worship, an understanding of the sacrificial system, the temple, the tabernacle, and all that had to take place for us to have a right relationship. And we come today in praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that you took care. You loved us so much, cared for us so deeply, that one sacrifice, your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, would take care of sin forever. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to follow after, to seek after your Son, Jesus, that we would make him not only our Lord, but our high priest, our prophet. We would model our life of servanthood after him. Father, we love you, and I just pray today that if there is anybody here that does not understand this system of sacrifice and forgiveness of sins, Lord, that today you would speak to their hearts through us. Let them know that we are all sinners. Each and every one of us here is a sinner. We've all fallen short of God's glory somehow. We have broken his desires for our lives. And because of that, we were to be eternally separated from him, a spiritual death. But because Jesus became our high priest and offered the once and for all sacrifice of himself, we now have an opportunity to have that right relationship with you by trusting in his sacrifice, trusting in his death, and his death alone for our eternal salvation. So I pray, Lord, if there's somebody here today that has never come to grips with Jesus being their Lord and Savior, that as we get ready to sing, they might make their way down here. They would turn to their neighbor and say, hey, tell me more about this Jesus that you profess to love. Or meet me in the library afterwards. I'd love to share with you more about who Jesus is and what he can do for your life. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for this season of preparing our hearts for the second coming, because none of us are guaranteed another day, and we'll always be ready to meet him face to face. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.